Hello, and welcome to A-Level Physics Unlocked. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving into one of the most fascinating and philosophically rich topics in the entire A-Level specification, turning points in physics. This is AQA Option 9.4, and it's a topic that genuinely changed how humanity understands the universe. Whether you're revising for your mocks or your final exams, stick with me for the next 10 minutes, and I promise you'll walk away with a much clearer picture of what the examiners are looking for. So, what are turning points in physics? The clue is in the name. These are the moments in scientific history where the old model simply broke down, where experiments produced results that nobody expected, and where brilliant minds had to completely rethink the foundations of physics. We're talking about the shift from classical Newtonian physics to quantum mechanics and special relativity. Three experiments sit at the heart of this topic: the Michelson-Morley experiment, Millikan's oil drop experiment, and the photoelectric effect. We'll also cover special relativity, including time dilation, length contraction, and mass energy equivalence. Let's get into it. Let's start with the Michelson-Morley experiment, because historically, this is where the story begins. Back in 1887, physicists believed that light, like sound, needed a medium to travel through. They called this medium the luminiferous ether. The idea was that the ether filled all of space and light waves propagated through it. If that were true, then as the Earth moves through the ether in its orbit around the Sun, we should be able to detect a difference in the speed of light depending on which direction we measure it. Light traveling in the same direction as Earth's motion through the ether should appear slightly slower, and light traveling perpendicular to it should appear slightly faster. Michelson and Morley built an incredibly sensitive interferometer to detect exactly this difference. They split a beam of light, sent the two halves along perpendicular arms of equal length, reflected them off mirrors, and recombined them. If the speed of light differed along the two arms, the recombined beams would be out of phase and produce an interference pattern. They rotated the apparatus through 90 degrees and expected to see the fringe pattern shift. But here's the thing, it didn't. The result was null. No fringe shift, no detectable difference in the speed of light in any direction. Now, this is critically important for your exam. The Michelson-Morley experiment did not disprove the ether. I want you to remember that phrasing. It provided evidence against the ether theory. It suggested that the speed of light is constant and independent of the motion of the observer or the source. Examiners are very specific about this distinction. Saying it disproved the ether will cost you marks. The correct language is that the null result was inconsistent with the ether hypothesis, and it provided the experimental foundation for Einstein's first postulate of special relativity, that the speed of light in a vacuum C is the same for all inertial observers. Now let's move to the photoelectric effect, which is the experimental evidence for the particle nature of light. Here's the setup. You shine light onto a clean metal surface in a vacuum. If the light has a high enough frequency, electrons are ejected from the surface. These are called photoelectrons. Wave theory predicted that any frequency of light given enough intensity and enough time should eventually give electrons enough energy to escape. But that's not what happens. The observations are these. First, there is a threshold frequency below which no electrons are emitted, regardless of how intense the light is. Second, above the threshold frequency, emission is instantaneous even with very dim light. Third, increasing the intensity of light above the threshold increases the number of photoelectrons, but not their maximum kinetic energy. Fourth, increasing the frequency of light above the threshold increases the maximum kinetic energy of the photoelectrons. Wave theory cannot explain any of this, but Einstein's photon model can. A photon is a discrete packet of electromagnetic energy with energy equal to H times F, where H is Planck's constant, 6.63 times 10 to the minus 34 joule seconds, and F is the frequency. When a photon strikes the metal surface, it gives all of its energy to a single electron in a one-to-one interaction. The electron uses some of that energy to escape the surface, which requires a minimum energy called the work function, phi. Any remaining energy becomes the kinetic energy of the photoelectron. This gives us Einstein's photoelectric equation. HF equals phi plus the maximum kinetic energy of the photoelectron. The threshold frequency F0 is the frequency at which the photon energy exactly equals the work function. So HF0 equals phi. For your exam, the key graph to know is maximum kinetic energy on the y-axis against frequency on the x-axis. This is a straight line with gradient equal to Planck's constant h, x-intercept at the threshold frequency F0, and y-intercept at negative phi. Examiners love asking you to extract values from this graph, so make sure you know what each feature represents. Now let's talk about Millikan's oil drop experiment, which gave us the first direct measurement of the charge on a single electron. Millikan sprayed tiny oil droplets between two horizontal parallel plates connected to a variable voltage supply. The droplets became charged by friction during spraying or by exposure to ionizing radiation. By adjusting the voltage, Millikan could balance the electric force on a droplet against its weight, holding it stationary. At equilibrium, the electric force QE equals the weight marriage G, where Q is the charge on the drop, E is the electric field strength equal to V over D, M is the mass, and G is gravitational field strength. By measuring the terminal velocity of the drop when the field was switched off, Millikan could calculate the mass using Stokes' law. Combining these measurements gave the charge Q on each droplet. When Millikan measured hundreds of droplets, he found that all the charges were integer multiples of the same fundamental value, 1.6 times 10 to the minus 19 coulombs. This is the elementary charge E, the charge on a single electron. This was direct experimental proof that charge is quantized. A common mistake here. In high-precision calculations, you must account for the upthrust of air on the droplet. The equilibrium condition becomes QE equals mg minus upthrust. If a question says assuming air resistance is negligible or ignoring upthrust, you can simplify. But if it implies high precision, include it. Now let's move to special relativity. Einstein's special theory of relativity rests on two postulates. First, the laws of physics are the same in all inertial frames of reference. Second, the speed of light in a vacuum is the same for all inertial observers, regardless of the motion of the source or observer. From these two postulates flow some extraordinary consequences. Time dilation. A moving clock runs slow. If a clock is moving relative to an observer, the observer measures a longer time interval between events than the clock itself measures. The equation is t equals gamma times t0, where t0 is the proper time, t is the dilated time, and gamma is the Lorentz factor, equal to 1 divided by the square root of 1 minus v squared over c squared. The proper time t0 is always the shorter time. It is measured by a clock that is present at both events, meaning the clock is at rest relative to the events. This is the key to identifying proper time. Ask yourself, who is present at both the start and end of the interval? That observer measures proper time. Length contraction. A moving object appears shorter in the direction of motion. The equation is L equals L0 divided by gamma, where L0 is the proper length, the length measured in the rest frame of the object, and L is the contracted length measured by an observer relative to whom the object is moving. Note that length contraction only occurs in the direction of motion. Mass-energy equivalence. Einstein showed that mass and energy are equivalent, related by E equals mc squared. More precisely, the total energy of a moving object is E equals gamma mc squared, where m is the rest mass. The rest energy is E0 equals mc squared. The kinetic energy is the difference, Ke equals gamma negative 1 times mc squared. This is the relativistic kinetic energy formula, and it replaces the classical half mv squared at high speeds. Now, let me give you the exam tips that will genuinely save you marks. First, on proper time and proper length, the most common error in relativity questions is swapping gamma and 1 over gamma. Remember, time dilates, so t is bigger than t0, meaning you multiply t0 by gamma to get t. Length contracts, so L is smaller than L0, meaning you divide L0 by gamma to get L. A quick sanity check, gamma is always greater than or equal to 1, so dilated time is always greater than proper time, and contracted length is always less than proper length. Second, on the photoelectric effect. When a question asks you to explain why the photoelectric effect provides evidence for the particle nature of light, structure your answer as theory, prediction, observation, conclusion. State what wave theory predicted, state what was actually observed, and conclude that the observation can only be explained by the photon model. Examiners award marks for each of these steps explicitly. Third, on the Michelson-Morley experiment, never say it proved or disproved anything. Use the language of evidence. The null result provided evidence against the ether hypothesis and was consistent with the invariance of the speed of light. Fourth, on unit conversions. Electron volts to joules is a very common source of lost marks. 1 electron volt equals 1.6 times 10 to the minus 19 joules. Always convert to joules before substituting into equations. If the question gives energy in electron volts and asks for frequency, convert first. Fifth, on specific charge. In Thomson's cathode ray tube experiment, the specific charge of the electron is the charge to mass ratio, E over M. In the velocity selector, the electric force equals the magnetic force. EE equals BEV, giving V equals E over B. Then, in the deflection region, the magnetic force provides centripetal force. BEV equals MV squared over R, giving E over M equals V over BR. Candidates often forget to substitute the velocity from the selector into the deflection equation. Now for a quick-fire recall quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What was the result of the Michelson-Morley experiment, and what did it suggest? Answer: the null result. No fringe shift was observed. It suggested the speed of light is constant and independent of the motion of the observer. Question 2. State Einstein's photoelectric equation. Answer: HF equals phi plus the maximum kinetic energy of the photoelectron. Question 3. In Millikan's experiment, what condition must be met for the oil drop to be stationary? Answer: the electric force QE must equal the weight mg, or more precisely, QE equals mg minus upthrust. Question 4. Define proper time. Answer: proper time is the time interval measured by a clock that is at rest relative to the events being measured, or equivalently, the clock is present at both events. Question 5. What is the Lorentz factor gamma? Answer: gamma equals 1 divided by the square root of 1 minus v squared over c squared. Question 6. What does the gradient of a maximum kinetic energy against frequency graph represent? Answer: Planck's constant h. Let's wrap up. Turning points in physics is a topic that rewards deep understanding over rote learning. The examiners want you to think like a scientist, to understand why experiments were done, what they found, and what that forced physicists to conclude. The three landmark experiments, Michelson-Morley, the photoelectric effect, and Millikan's oil drop, each challenged a classical assumption and opened the door to modern physics. Special relativity then gave us a new framework for understanding space, time, and energy at high speeds. Master the equations, understand the concepts, and always use precise scientific language in your answers. You've got this. Good luck in your exams, and I'll see you in the next episode.